Motopod, proudly supported by Roadskin, a UK label specializing in protective outerwear for motorcyclists. Modern biker clothing that you can wear all day long and engineered to save your skin. For the road, for life, visit roadskin.co.uk.
Welcome to Motorpod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 780, and this is Rich again with more from the Donington Park World Superbike round. This time, we're talking to the British riders in the superbike class. So, first up, we have Bonovo Action BMW rider Scott Redding. Now, apologies for some of the language. I did decide not to clean this one up too much, so please be warned in case you're of a nervous disposition or have youngsters within earshot. Scott is, of course, very famous for speaking his mind, so here you get his unfiltered thoughts on the season so far. As of recording this introduction, which I'm doing on Saturday the 21st of September, there's still no official news on where Scott will ride next year, although rumours do abound about a return to BSB. I actually wonder if there might be a spot for him at the FHO BMW squad in the seat being vacated by Josh Brooks, particularly as BMW are wanting to increase their performance and results in the British Superbike Series. And Scott is, of course, now associated with BMW, having been on the Bonovo squad for the last couple of seasons. Watch this space, I guess. Next up, we speak with Kawasaki Racing Team rider Alex Lowes. Alex is having arguably his best World Superbike season so far and is, of course, confirmed in the new Bimota Kawasaki team for 2025. So it's interesting to hear how he sees the season to date and beyond. After Alex, we hear from Bradley Ray. Brad's been chipping away on the Moto X Racing Yamaha and is another rider with as yet unconfirmed plans for next year. For my money, he does deserve to stay put in the World Superbike class, but a switch to World Supersport or even back to the British Superbike paddock is a possibility. We then speak to MIE Racing Honda rider Taran McKenzie. I did actually speak very briefly with Taz at the Donington World Superbike round last year when I doorstepped him in the paddock, but it was good to be able to speak with him properly about his first full season in World Superbike, especially as he and the Honda Fireblade improve bit by bit. And finishing up, we speak with Sam Lowes, new this year on the Elfmark VDS Racing Ducati. It was particularly interesting to speak with Sam, as some will recall that I was able to speak with him in Qatar last season towards the end of his Moto2 career. I'm not 100% certain, but I believe we'll see Sam out on the Ducati again next year. As always, a big thanks to all of the riders, press officers and teams involved. And again, sorry for the background noise where it occurs, as these days are always super busy and crowded and therefore somewhat noisy, particularly in the media centre. A quick footnote on episode 779 and the chats with the Secmet Racing ladies. I think I said these were recorded on the Thursday media day as well. But that, of course, was a mental aberration on my part, as both Mallory and Lissy had been out on track that day, so those discussions were actually recorded on the Friday. In terms of the World Superbike races, well, it was very much the Toprak show, with the Turkish rider dominating all three races. Alex Lowes did have a pair of podiums, and Scott Redding scored fourth place in both the sprint and race two, but it was a bit more of a mixed bag for Sam Lowes and Brad Ray. Unfortunately, Taz crashed in practice, which ruled him out for the rest of the weekend. So before we go to Scott, just a quick mention that next up we will have the last of the Donington chats. So look out for the next special, which will feature Garrett Gerloff, Ike Lekuona, Axel Bassani and Ollie Bayliss. So then, over to the first of the chats, kicking off with Scott Redding. Scott Redding, you might recall we bumped into each other behind the Tag Honda truck at Donington a few weeks ago when you were there supporting Fraser. So Donington obviously holds fantastic memories for you going back. What's it feel like to be back in front of the home crowd again?
Oh, it's good. I always like coming to Donington. It feels kind of local. You know, you don't have to take flights and hire cars and everything else. And you get there, you have the reception with the great fans. Everyone's speaking English. You know, they get the character, the jokes, like the humour. It's just all different in a positive way. It's what I like coming to Donington, you know. It's like when I come to watch BSB, I can drive up here, have a laugh. I just feel like I'm doing the same thing, but I'm racing. And that's a big thing to have.
Yeah. You're well known, I would say, for wearing your heart on your sleeve. So, I mean, 2024 has been a tricky year to date, although I was just talking with Garrett. I mean, we're in the middle of the summer and you've only had four rounds up until now, so it's kind of a bit of a weird championship. I'll just jump in with a question, actually, that I asked him. Does it frustrate you a little bit, these big gaps in the calendar, in terms of getting rhythm
established? Not really.
Or does it not bother you too much?
I kind of like it, in a way. Everyone I speak to hates it, but I look at it, it's like I can have a normal life at home with family and I can have my racing life. From my experience of being in MotoGP, you can have no life quite quickly and it takes a toll on everything. It's quite stressful.
Yeah.
Whereas here, some of the gaps are a bit long, yes, but in the end, you can go and do other things, you know. So your life is not 100% always racing. This is a job. Your job shouldn't be all day, every day. You know, you should have some time to clear your mind. So
yeah,
it's nice to get rhythm when it's going well. That's okay. But when it's not going well and you've got back-to-back races, that's hard because you don't get a breather.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that.
And I've always said that more when I started to struggle a bit here. Everyone was like, oh, in this, we do more testing, that. I just need to fucking clear my head. I need just time away from the track, away from the bike, regroup,
yep,
and go. MotoGP, when I was having a bad time at Aprilia, one week, next week I was at the track, and the week after at the track, and it was never getting better, so I just felt like I was being held underwater. So
yeah,
for me, sometimes it's nice to have this break.
Let's turn to the bike weight rules that came into effect this year, because obviously you were one of the sort of main advocates for that change, for obvious reasons. I mean, how do you feel about it now? You know, bearing in mind that the team had a sort of an up and down year to date so far, although we'll come on to today, which has been very, very positive for you. What are your thoughts on it now? Mm. I mean, clearly it has affected a few of the people that you were hoping it would.
Mm. Well, the thing is the weight thing is not purely to help me. It's to make the championship better. But it got pinned up onto me because I was vocal about it. And, you know, I got quite a lot of negative stick off loads, hundreds, thousands of people on social media about it. But they never get the picture. I didn't have a weight limit so I could then win.
Mm.
You know, that's not the case. It's to make it more fair. When I'm watching racing, I'm in the race, but I'm not in the race. When I'm sitting 12th and I'm watching the guys at the front and I see Alvaro, for example, is passing two people in the straight with two fingers in the nose, it's not fair. It's, you know, you got raced so hard, you know, and Alvaro's a good rider. I've never said he's not a good rider, but this just makes it harder for everyone else because he can sit and know he can pass on the straight.
I mean, I had exactly the same conversation with Loris last year, and also Danilo, who are, you know, were two of the bigger, heavier riders as well by comparison. So
and
it's not just
it's
you.
Made a change, you know, like Alvaro is not dominating because of top speed. Now it's like if Alvaro wins, fucking fair play. Like I shake his hand, I've no issue with him. Like fair fucking play. But it just goes to show a little bit of weight, and you got to bear in mind he is not on the full weight limit.
No, you know, quite far away, I think.
You know, and that's the thing. Every kilo you're under, you only have to put half a kilo. In my opinion, that's bullshit, but it's a start.
Yeah.
It's a start of something, and it's made it better racing.
Yeah, I would agree. We touched on this behind the tag team truck a few weeks ago, just very, very briefly, but given the unique riding style that Toprak has, you mentioned when we spoke the other week, you get to see all of the data and so on. And I'm wondering, because he has such a kind of a unique style, I think it's reasonable to say, is the data a help or a hindrance? What's your sort of take on this?
No, it's a help because in the end, he's the one making the bike perform. So if he can do it, it's possible. That's a good thing. And I mean, when you see on track, it looks a lot different. But when you see on the data, it's not that different.
That's interesting that you say that because Garrett has just said exactly the same thing. Mm.
It looks spectacular.
Intriguing. Yeah.
And it looks like he's breaking a length of a truck further because the rear wheel's in the air. But reality is, it's not what's happening. Mm. On the Yamaha, he was braking later, but he was also coming slower in the straight. So now I see the data, I was thinking, fuck, like, this is where it's going to be. And sometimes, yes, he is making a step in the braking, but overall, it's not what it looks like. So it is useful for us because we can see the rear wheels off the floor, but if you look at all the other parameters, it doesn't mean anything that the rear wheel's not on the floor. That's just how he feels comfortable.
Yeah. Let's talk about today then, because it has been a really good day, let's say. I'm 10th in FP1 and then 5th in FP2. You've got to be feeling pretty confident going into the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, to be fair, like I probably should kind of appreciate a bit more. FP1, I was a little bit annoyed because I should have made a bigger step with the new tyre, but there wasn't. And the electronics wasn't working the best way possible. And then to end up 10th, like, you know, a lot of the time in the season, 10th, I'd be, like, happy. But I just felt like I had more to give. So I saw 10th and I was a bit pissed off, to be honest. And then FP2 went out and, again, I was just struggling. I'm like, fuck, like, I feel I can do more, but it's not there. And I was using the used tyre from the morning. So when I put a new tyre in, it gave me what I feel I could do. and that was like a bit of a relief. Like I kind of felt like, yeah, that was good. Like I feel like I should be that area, and I was quite happy with
it. I was saying to Garrett in FP1, I just arrived at the track. I was down at Melbourne Hairpin and just watching you guys gassing it up towards Goddard, and I was spotting that both you and Garrett were having quite a bit of trouble keeping the front wheel down. Is that something that you were feeling as well?
Oh, I'm always struggling to keep the front down on this.
More so than other people, though, was kind of my takeaway.
Yeah, I feel it, but it's always been that. Even when I was on the other bike, I had a bit of wheelie there. I don't know why. Could be setup and electronic, could be chassis setup, where the rider's sitting. But yeah, funny you say that, because I do feel a lot of wheelie there.
What are the realistic targets, do you think, for the rest of the weekend?
Just depends. You know, tyres are a big factor here. Tire dropping midway through the race, if you can use the X, if you can't with the zero, like there's a lot of things that can make the race. You know, last year, like I was quite far back and I came back at the end, which was not really like me normally because of the tire wear. So first thing first is to get a good qualifier, and that's the most important thing of it all.
Yeah,
because that'll set you up then for the races.
Would you be happy on sort of row one or box row one, row two? I mean,
the first three rows. Yeah. First three rows is a must. After that, it gets hard. And you know, if I'd love to get a podium, that would be like phenomenal.
So would all of the crowd.
Yeah, like it would be great. You know, it'd be absolutely amazing. Top five. You know, I'd go home happy. I just always want a bit more here at my home race.
Let's just quickly touch on 2025, because I know you've had a few comments on it. As I just mentioned, chatting with Garrett, Jürgen Roeder, he's pulling the team out for personal reasons, whatever those reasons are, I don't know, it's not important. But I was saying to Garrett, one would hope logically that BMW are in such a strong position now with the package that they have, that another team in the pit lane would be quite happy to come on board as a satellite. So, I mean, is that your personal hope? I know you have a contract for next year.
Yeah.
So can we hope perhaps that there'll be another 2BMs out next year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know really. You would like to think so. It's quite a big commitment, you know, changing manufacturers. It's a big commitment for a team in general. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm really trying not to think about it. I'm just trying to keep my head clear. I know I got a contract. I just keep saying I'm going to be okay. Everything will be sorted. You know, and that's what you've got a manager for, to kind of look after that and let me stay focused on my job for racing. So I just need to keep showing performance, and then, you know, hopefully good things will come.
Absolutely, they normally do. Some of the British and American listeners to the show obviously commenting on the fact that you shocked the world by going to BSB in, what was that, 2019? Winning the title, first time out. Does Moto America kind of appeal at some point in the future? I mean, you've got an American wife,
Way. To be fair, like, I would love to do Moto America at some point. But, you know, racing, it is a business. So it's a crossover of having the equipment to win and what you're doing. Obviously, you need to earn money. You've got to kind of play your cards right the best you can, because we don't work till we're 60. But I really enjoyed BSB, so I'd probably go to BSB before Moto America.
Okay.
And then maybe Moto America a bit later down the line. But, you know, all saying that, if something come along in the future that was interesting, you know, I'm happy to race forever. I'd fucking race a horse if I could win on it. That's how I am.
Well, I was going to segue on to my final question, because I must let you go. But anybody that follows your social media channels know you're a super competitive and highly accomplished cyclist, amongst other things. You've got the child coming along. Congratulations again for that.
You.
Where do you see your sort of longer term future in terms of, are you interested in kind of team rider management? I don't know if you still have the rider academy.
I don't have the academy anymore. The problem is, if I want to do something, I want to do it properly. So that normally means having time to do stuff and be committed.
Yeah.
Same like when I started cycling, it was for fun. Then I got a bit addicted to it. Then I got competitive. But now, like, I'm at the level where to be good, you need to be full time. And I'm not full time because I'm here racing. So I kind of, my interest in that is not clear at the moment. I like to do it with an enjoyment, but it's really hard for me to have a hobby that I can just enjoy.
Yeah.
So who knows with the future? Like for me, when the baby is born, it's more about them than me, should I say. Like, I know people that's worked in paddocks in MotoGP that's had babies and they've been home maybe 80 days in the year.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. I want to be there for my baby and my family and be an actual good parent. That for me is probably the next achievement.
Scott Redding changing nappies in the middle of the night, eh?
Yeah, I mean, if it's got to be done,
We've all been there.
Exactly. So I would like to be there committed, and then if there's some hobbies on the way, do it. I just, you know, you get older, you want to start to enjoy things a bit more. I am 31 now, I'm not 20 like I used to be. Yeah, as long as the racing's going well, that's kind of priority.
It's good to see you looking and sounding really positive. And you know, obviously, it's been a good day today, and I'm sure that's part of it. And wish you the best of luck for the weekend, and hope you get a couple of really solid, well, three actually, because there's three races in there, but some really solid results. And that kind of really sets you up for the, let's call it, the second half of the season. So, yeah, we wish you all the best. And Scott, we've never spoken to you before, I don't think, properly on Motopod. So, it's a great pleasure to have the opportunity to do so. And hopefully, we'll be able to do it again.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, mate. Cheers. All right, so penultimate interview of the day, and delighted to say I'm sitting with Karasaki Racing Team rider Alex Lowes. Alex, welcome onto the podcast, I'm pretty sure for the first time.
Yep.
So we're sitting here, thankfully not in the pouring rain, but it is raining pretty hard, so hopefully it's not going to be like this all weekend. But thoughts of the year so far and heading into this weekend?
Yeah, the year so far has been good. It's been a successful start to the year with some podiums, won a couple of races in Australia, which started the year well, so that was nice. It's been quite a spread out start to the year, just with four rounds so far, but this weekend and next weekend back-to-back, starting with a home round at Donington. Yeah, it's great to be back going, back trying to obviously be back on the podium with my home race, very much a home race, living so close. So.
Yeah. Is it pressure or excitement being at home?
Nah, not pressure anymore. Not the long as I've been doing it. You try to do the best every weekend. Yeah. Because riding for an official team in Superbike, there's always that pressure to be on the podium and fighting at the front. So don't really feel any extra pressure. Just, I guess, excitement. It's nice to have a few more family and friends around, not to have to travel too far to get to the race. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it's a track that I really enjoy anyway, regardless that it's so close to home. And obviously, just been in World Superbike for the last 11 years, just, we don't get to test at Donington because being, you know, quite far, let's say, for the team, most of our 80-90% of our testing is done in Spain, where the weather's quite good, or Portugal in the south of Europe in the winter. So we don't really get to ride this track any more than anyone else, but it's always like, it's always nice to be, I would say, as much as the track, it's always nice to come and get the opportunity to race in front of the British fans. Obviously, coming through the British Superbike paddock, feel close to them, so it's nice to get that opportunity at least once a year.
Like a lot of the field, obviously, with Brits in there, you've got a lot of experience at Donington from down the years when you're in BSB and so on, and coming up through the ranks. I mean, where does it rank, Donington, and say Cramer Curves? Is it up there in terms of all the tracks you get to?
Yeah, I like the final part of the track, but I would say that's obviously a bit, you know, some people like it, some people hate it. But I don't think you'll hear anybody from the start and finish line to, let's say, the S's after Coppice on the back straight. That section of racetrack, I don't think you'll hear any rider complain about that. It's some of the best, let's say, natural terrain for a track in the world. And it's not like a lot of the new circuits we go to are more computer design, not as much character. So I think it'll always be one of the, you know, iconic sections of track. So yeah, it's really enjoyable.
Now, I've not checked the stats, but just having a quick look last time, I'm guessing this must be your best start to a World Superbike season ever, is it?
I think 2019 might have been a little bit better on the Yamaha. I start the year real strong. I don't know, I'd have to check in terms of points. But I would say, I don't know, I think in 2019, the year before I joined Kawasaki, I was quite strong, 18, 19. And then, yeah, COVID, some injuries on the Kawasaki. It's been a tough couple of years, but I say I'm back now to where I was.
I was going to say, it looks like you've taken a step this year, you know, a marked step. So, I mean, is there something in particular that you can identify, either in the bike, yourself, the crew? I know you've got different crew chiefs this year.
Yeah, that's all. Being healthy is a big point. I had some, you know, in our game, it's, you're always trying to ride through a lot of injuries. And 21, 22, last year I missed 7 or 8 races, trying to race sometimes. I missed a lot of races, so it was like half a year, really, which was a shame. And also the change of crew this year has been a good step. I'm enjoying myself a lot. I've got a lot of experience. The speed is still there. I'm still as fast as I have been in Superbike. So I think all that together has been nice. And when you're enjoying it and you're feeling good, normally the results come. So it's a real positive start. Obviously, always trying to do a little bit better. And every weekend is an opportunity to do that.
I'm kind of really interested to talk to you about next year, because obviously there was this big news that came along about the association between Kawasaki and Bimota. So is there anything that you think with that collaboration? I know you probably can't talk in detail about it, obviously, but the Bimota, I assume, is going to be a much more exotic piece of machinery that will compete, let's say, more toe-to-toe with the Ducati. So is an area of that bike that you know of which is going to sort of help to make the transition to the a bit further to the front again?
Yeah, that's the target, obviously, of Kawasaki, their association or collaboration, let's say, with a brand like Bimota, and they're putting their experience, their expertise with the proven expertise of Kawasaki together, I think is a formidable force. I think the bike, when we get to see the final version of the bike, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they can produce, and it's exciting times.
I mean, obviously I don't know the details exactly what's happening, but I'm assuming that the current motor kind of goes into the Bimota, does it, and then is it chassis, or is that something we can't talk about?
I don't know.
The whole world's kind of keen to know how this is going to work.
Yeah, there's two. I think it's, in the end, it's a Kawasaki's target, I believe, is to produce the best, obviously, bike they can, in the way that other, you see the bikes, like, very much race bikes for the street, the Ducati, the BMW, you know, fast, powerful bikes with the latest technology, and
yeah.
I think this is the direction that they are trying to look at in this collaboration. So I think it's going to be interesting. Obviously, we know that Kawasaki engine is strong. There's lots of fast bikes now, and you always want to try and go as fast as possible, and a faster bike obviously helps in a race situation, but I'm sure whatever they decide to do, whatever they come up with, will be competitive.
Are you doing a rain dance for this weekend? What conditions would you like?
Not really. How I'm riding at the minute, I'm fast in the wet or the dry. I'm certainly not anti the rain. I try not to be somebody that's negative if it rains, because especially here it can happen, and I enjoy it. But I feel like always the results in the rain, you don't get as much credit. If I go and win a race in the rain, rightly or wrongly, it's not the same as winning a race in the dry. And I think this weekend, if we do a good job tomorrow, I can have a chance in the dry. So that's what we're... I would prefer it to be dry, also for the people on the bank watching, but
yeah.
I have to be ready for whatever conditions we have.
Because, I mean, you're not that far behind Alvaro in third place, are you?
Yeah.
And even Toprak's only 55 up the road in terms of the points. So, I mean, it's all to play for still. So, I mean, what are your realistic expectations of this weekend? Is a win on the cards, you think, or a podium at least?
I try not to think about it, to be honest, in terms of it's so close now in World Superbike. You know, the times are so tight. If I want to achieve some good results, I need to work hard on Friday to be working well with the crew in the practice. Two good sessions, get the bike, talking with the bike, understanding with the bike. And then normally Friday night after FP1, FP2, we have a bit more of understanding of our realistic target for the weekend. If that's, you know, close to challenging for the win, then I'll focus on that. If it's, you know, this year, perfect example, in Barcelona, not the easiest track for us, but I had three top six finishes, fifth in one race. That was like a podium for us, because, you know, if you can achieve them results on a bad weekend, you have to accept that. And it's understanding what a good result is also helping be consistent in the championship. I can't just say, oh, it's Donington, I want to win. Everybody wants to win.
Yeah.
We need to do the work tomorrow. And I feel like if how I've been riding the bike, I know this track well. I think it's a good one for our bike. And if tomorrow goes well, it's not unrealistic.
Last question. With the kind of Liberty thing going on, and I would assume you don't know what's going to happen with World Superbike in terms of whether Liberty gets to keep control of that, but would you be in favour of doing something about the calendar so that we don't have these long gaps? I mean, I don't know if it's feasible to put more races in. I guess you would be in favour of that as well. But do the long breaks between the races bother you, or is it an opportunity to go off and train and do other stuff?
I think the first thing you have to think is that the racing in World Superbike is fantastic. This year, MotoGP has also been fantastic, but all the way down the grid of World Superbike, there's good riders on good bikes, with some good racing, and it's nice to be involved in that. I think that we have to understand, it's easy to say, oh, we want 15 races, but there's then you've got the Supersport class. There's other classes, smaller teams, it's different budgets, and we need to firstly race at tracks that want to have World Superbike, race at tracks that are going to pay to have World Superbike, and also make sure some of the smaller teams can afford to do the championship. You can't just have 20 races at all these exotic venues when only 10 or 15 of the guys can afford to go. We need to understand very well our position, and as a rider, you want to ride as much as possible. Obviously, I've got a lot of experience now. I've been there and done it, and to get to spend some time with the family is valuable moments that away from racing that you don't get back.
Yeah.
So I make sure I appreciate that. And I'm at the stage now where it's not more important than racing, because I do everything I can to do the best I can on the bike. But if we have an extra 2 weeks to watch the kids grow up a little bit, I think that's also quite nice, which, you know, whenever I speak with not just riders but mechanics and teams and people involved in the MotoGP circus, obviously knowing from my brother and other experiences, it's a tough schedule, and it's only getting tougher. You know, less European races, more overseas, more travel. And I think for World Superbike, I think we need a few more races overseas. I don't think we need to be a 16, 17, 18 race calendar. I think a few breaks are okay, and we test in these breaks. And it's always nice to start in Australia, because it's sort of before everything else gets going, and it's like a weekend that people look forward to on the calendar. But yeah, the breaks are not, they don't seem as bad for the riders if you have a couple of tests. But I understand for the flow of the championship and for the fans, it's be nice to have a little bit more. But I think the number one goal has to be an affordable championship to keep the teams there, also in the Supersport and the feeder classes. I'd rather have 11 round series with good teams, good bikes, riders getting paid, everything going well, good audiences, good attendance at the track, at a 16 round championship with a race in Brazil and Argentina and Indonesia with 12 bikes on the grid just to be a world championship. So yeah. Ideal worlds don't exist. Obviously, you'd have everyone would be getting paid millions of pounds to race all around the world and do whatever they want, but that's not the reality. So as long as the racing's good and we can have some good competition, obviously more than one race outside Europe is needed for a world championship, but yeah. I don't think we need to go crazy on the negatives or positives of the calendar. It's always beyond our control, isn't it?
Fascinating insights, yeah, brilliant. Well, look, really wish you the best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Home round. There'll be lots of flags on the banks supporting you, so and hope you have three good races and three good results, and thanks for talking to us at Motorpod.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, Alex. Right, here we are again chatting to Brad Ray. Brad, welcome back onto the show. So, well, just exactly a year since we last spoke. So, tricky first four rounds a little bit, but how do you sum up the season so far?
Yeah, it's not been easy, that's for sure. I mean, coming off the back of last year, we started to make some progress from the end of last year. So yeah. I was hoping to be a little bit closer to the front, especially like the top 10 around that area. But it looks like boys in the top teams have made big progress with the bikes and with the teams. So, yeah, we're doing the best we can, that's for sure. I just need some small upgrades and some small changes to hopefully get a little bit closer. But we made a little bit of a step in Misano in the second race. So hopefully we can bring that into my home round. I know obviously Donington really well. I know how it should feel around Donington, so hopefully we can carry on the work and get a little bit closer to that second group.
When we spoke here last year, one of the things we talked about was the very significant difference, obviously, in the electronics package between BSB. Bear in mind, you won the BSB Championship in 22.
22, yeah.
Yeah. So what are the areas for adaptation and improvement with the bike? Is it still electronics in terms of you getting to know it, or you said perhaps some new bits would help?
The electronics now is something that I've got used to.
You dialed into it.
Over last year and this year, I understand it quite well now. So, yeah, it's just trying to find the best overall package to fight a little bit closer to the top 10. Yeah, obviously, there's so much you can do and change on these bikes. It's non-stop. When you feel like you've got a good setup, there's always something more you can
Is it a bit
find.
Daunting in a way?
Yeah, not so much now. I understand it a lot more now. Last year was it took me a while to understand the best outcome, but yeah, it's coming together. Obviously, I feel good. I feel like I'm riding well in myself. I'm going to tracks and improving lap times and race times, so it's just everything else has made a massive step in front of us, so it makes it look worse than the models.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, things have gone in an interesting direction with BMW, obviously with Toprak on the bike now. And the Ducati, we know, is a kind of a specialised weapon.
Yeah.
So, where do you see yourself in comparison to, say, the other Yamahas out there? Because Donny's having a tough year.
Yeah.
Locker's having a sort of an okay time out there. And there's obviously a few other... Yeah. I suppose Remy would be the guy that's doing perhaps visibly the best. But where do you see yourself up against, you know, the other Yamahas?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only sort of thing I can do is overlay and look at the other Yamahas. Obviously, Ducati and BMW are a step above everyone. I can just look into Yamaha. Some tracks are a little bit closer than others. Obviously, it's not like Yamaha are winning every race and we're down in 18th. So there's some positives to take. But yeah, from the outside, it looks the same bike as Johnny's, but there's some bits that
I'm sure there's some big differences.
Do
you get to see anybody else's data?
I can look at Johnny's data and look at Lockers and all the other Yamahas, look at the overlay, the lap, see where they're stronger, where I'm stronger, and sort of try and suss a little bit out there. But yeah, we're just trying to do the best we can with the package. And yeah, obviously some tracks it's not as big of a difference, but others will sometimes need a little bit more. So hopefully this weekend, with the experience I've got around Donington, the little step we made in Misano, we can hopefully close that gap and be closer to the other Yamahas.
Yeah. No, I know I shouldn't really ask this, but in terms of 2025, do you know, or an inkling of what you might be doing, or you're not thinking that far ahead?
No, at the minute, not so much. Obviously, the best way to get a ride in the future is results, and obviously results at the minute aren't too great, so we've just got to focus on this year. We've only done four rounds, there's still quite a few rounds to go.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the year's halfway gone.
Exactly. It's obviously signing season for some people and other teams, but at the moment my focus is just to do the job in hand and hopefully get some good results.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you just sort of alluded to the fact you have immense amount of track knowledge here. You won many races in BSB here, as I remember. What's a realistic expectation? I mean, could you grind a top 10, do you think, if conditions are right?
I think top 10 is maybe a little bit difficult, I would say. Obviously.
Because you've been sort of hobbling around sort of 17.
Yeah, around that. I think if I can be in that, at the minute I'm a little bit far behind that top 10 group fighting for 10th to 15th. But if I can make a step this weekend and be in that group fighting for top 10 around the points area, then I'll be happy with that. But obviously the weather plays a big part, tricky conditions.
Yeah, cold, so tomorrow's going to be a little bit sketchy. And then Sunday, I think, I mean, looking at the weather forecast on my phone, it does look a bit better on Sunday.
I think
what would you prefer?
Honestly, obviously everyone prefers a dry race. It's a lot more consistent, but something in between, maybe some damp patches, some dry lines, something like that would be quite nice.
Let the cream come to the top.
Get a solid result, So, no, we just play the weekend out. I know the track really well. I'm looking forward to riding again. So
we're certainly looking forward to seeing you out there, and we'll be sort of waving the flag for the Brits, including yourself. So
we
wish you all the best,
job.
Brad, and I hope you have a good rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. Next chat, Tara McKenzie.
Yeah.
Welcome to MotoPod.
Thank you.
I did just remind you, you were on for about 3 minutes last year, but you can't remember that. But this one's official, so let's dive straight into the year so far, Taz. I was going to say sort of maybe a tricky year, but perhaps a bit under the radar. I mean, you had an 11th place in Aston last time out, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you've always got a smile on your face.
Yeah.
But sum up the year from your point of view.
It was just a tricky start, really. We missed a lot of testing at the start of the year. Meant to have 2 days in Portimao and then only ended up having one, which was on the old bike. And then was straight to Phillip Island, really. So any pre-season testing I'd done the year before was just on the 2022/23 bike. So, yeah, just went in just a bit sort of underprepared riding-wise. And then kind of got through Phillip Island and then had a change of crew chief after there, which brought Mick Shamley over to my side, which was nice.
Famous name.
Yeah, and then since then, it's just been a lot more straightforward for me, really. I've known Mick a long time. He was in the team, of course, last year. So I built some form of relationship with him. And it's just kind of getting deeper into that, really, at the moment, just us kind of understanding each other, how we work. Came in a Barcelona test, made a little step there, made a little step at Barcelona race, kind of like from Phillip Island to Barcelona. I was off the back of the likes of Brad and Otto and Rabat and the guys like that. Got a little bit closer in Barcelona and then in Assen, made a good step there. Didn't really have that much dry track time, but in the rain I was quite competitive. And then
all those years practicing in the UK.
Yeah, it helped for sure. And then, in that last race was probably a bit of a surprise, really, but it just showed that kind of what we had can work at certain tracks. And didn't have much dry track time, but nor did anyone else, and ended up kind of less than 20 seconds off the win, battling with Chavi, Gerloff, Rinaldi, like experienced guys that have been on the podium. And to be kind of, I know I'm not a rookie in a sense of riding a superbike, but it is my first year, and to be 3 rounds in and battling with those guys, I think it's a good step.
Yeah.
Struggled in Misano, but I think that's just part of being new to it and understanding what I need, and coming here now with a good superbike reference and had a lot of experience here in the past. So.
And presumably you're on the fully up-to-date 24 bike. I mean, it is a completely new bike, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much of a challenge is it to kind of get to grips with that?
Yeah, obviously, last year I kind of dipped in and out a little bit, did the odd superbike test, then went to Suzuka, and then did a little bit of testing at the end of last year, but it was always on the, it was kind of like a 22, 23 spec bike. And that was my only reference to riding a CBR, really. So yeah, it's just about understanding what I want. And as I said, we kind of went in last minute into Phillip Island. That was my first time riding the 24 bike. So if you look at what HRC did, tested all of last year with a new bike, start of this year, and then kind of where I started, and then to be 3 rounds in and kind of battling with them.
In at the deep end.
And getting close to them as each round goes on. I think, the signs are there that it can be good. I just maybe need a bit more time.
So, MIE or MIE, I'm never quite sure how to pronounce the team name. It's kind of an independent team, isn't it? But how much support is HRC throwing behind the project? I was just talking with Ike, and you know, he can clearly see that HRC in Superbike and obviously in MotoGP are really throwing everything at it now. Made a lot of changes culturally, perhaps, in the way that they work. So are you kind of starting to see that coming through?
Yeah, a little bit. We have Kimbara Sandrick from HRC in our garage all weekend for the electronic side, and any information we want gets passed down to us. Our bikes are slightly different. It is kind of like a satellite package, but some things are the same. So we can use them as a reference, and using their data or anything like that, seeing, for me, the biggest thing, and even Mick, is just seeing what Chavi and Nika are doing compared to me. So I think we have to be realistic at points for sure, and understand that I get frustrated myself when I can't beat them or get close to them at some tracks. And I think it's just understanding that sometimes our packages are different, and I am new to it and I still need to learn. So like I said, at some rounds I can be competitive, and my sole focus isn't on them, but they're the owner of the other Honda, so I need to use them as a reference for sure.
That's the competitive racer's instinct, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, like I said, I think we're doing an okay job so far, and I get frustrated for sure, but then I also need to remember I'm four rounds in and yeah, need time.
Well, yeah, and let's just remember, I mean, let's go back a couple of years just to show the pedigree that you have got. 2021 BSB champion,
yeah,
was it 2021? It seems like a long time ago, didn't it? But and then obviously you made the very brave decision to jump across to the world stage, going into Supersport style, which a lot of people questioned at the time. You're on the bigger bike now, so irrespective of the difficulties, I'm assuming that you're happy you've made the jump and that you are in this paddock.
Yeah, for sure. That I made a massive sacrifice at the end of 22, and when I think back now, I'm like, maybe I was a little bit stupid, but at the time it felt right, so I just went for it. Yeah. And for sure, it's the right decision now. I love BSB and I love watching, and like, I was sat on my sofa all weekend watching Snetterton on the weekend. Gladly, I was on my sofa with the weather, but it was such a good stepping stone for me going there, and yeah, wouldn't be where I am today without BSB. But being mid-20s and winning there and not getting the chance to come here and having to do another year full of injuries, I just needed a change, really. And yeah, like I said, Midori and gave me an opportunity to come here, and I was willing to make a sacrifice and of a lot of things and just make the step, show people who I am and kind of get them to know the name of Tara McKenzie. And I think I did that, and then ended up winning a race, which was obviously massively unexpected, and a really good deal with Midori and everything. I love the team and everything about it. It's just the kind of unfortunate thing that Honda are just struggling at the moment, but I'm confident we can turn it around, and between Mick and myself and all the team, that we'll get the best out of the job.
Well, I know you can't compare BSB and World Superbikes because they're completely different technically in terms of electronics in particular, but given your experience at this track and your knowledge now of the Fireblade, can you see any areas of this track, assuming that it stays dry for some of the weekend, which it doesn't, as if it will, which I'm sure you're happy about, but where do you think the Fireblade might actually show itself, you know, on this track?
Yeah, it's a track of 2 hours for sure, and the last part is very stop start, and when I rode the Yamaha and BSB, or even when I did the wildcard here, that was somewhere where we struggled a little bit. So I think that's where a place that Honda could be strong. I genuinely like riding the bike, like, it's good, I enjoy it. Sometimes it's just a little bit difficult in certain areas, but I think I'll just have to see. I think the biggest thing is just staying consistent over the 23 laps and kind of have a reference from BSB here, but surfaces change, never ridden the superbike here, so I need to understand where our strong points are going to be and where I'll need to work on. But yeah, whatever the weather, I think we're ready, and we've got a good base setting now. That's something that Mick's brought kind of to the party a little bit, that getting that dialed in, and each track we go to, we don't really vary now, we just kind of keep the bike similar, which is a good thing. I think it shows that we're in a little bit of a good window, and just got to keep working.
We were having a little chuckle a moment ago about doing a rain dance, which I suspect quite a few of the Brits are, because you know, yourself and Brad, I suppose, in a similar situation. Yeah. If it does rain on Saturday, it's Thursday today, what do you think you could actually do? You know, your famous win on the 600 last year, you just made reference to. I mean, you are very, very good at sketchy conditions, aren't you?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. I wasn't even that fast in the rain in BSB, but I think here, when maybe a slight disadvantage to others, it just gives you something. Well, it's a level playing field, and it just kind of, you can make the difference in your riding. So I kind of saw a little bit of it in Assen. First time riding the bike in the rain, I just went out of pits and kind of just got stuck in and felt good. So I don't know, it's hard to say. Like, I can't sit here and say, oh, I'm going to get this result or do this, because everyone's so fast here in the wet and the dry. So
what would be a satisfying result out of the three races?
Points, for sure, for sure. I qualified 14th in the rain in Assen and was a little bit closer, ended up 5th in FP3, so it's so hard to tell, but each track varies in the rain as well. Assen was really slippy, and sometimes you can, with a bit more feel, you can make the difference, but here's really grippy, so kind of a lot of people can be fast in the rain, a lot of people can take confidence from that. So I don't know, I'm coming here with a points goal for sure in the wet or dry, and if it does rain and it's a little bit tricky, then just try and push on that a little bit more.
And last thing, because I'm conscious of the time, do you see a future in World Superbikes? I'm not going to ask you what's going on next year, because you may not know yet, but
I haven't signed anything for next year, but it's looking likely I'll stay here again, which is good. Perfect, that's what I want, and I think continuity is a big thing. I learned that from BSB, it's just keeping in the same environment, same paddock, and chopping and changing championships like year on year, I don't think it's a great thing. I've been in super kind of BSB, Supersport, Superbike now, and I want to stay in Superbike again for next year, and all these kind of niggles and where I'm not as experienced as the others, arriving at tracks where I've never ridden the Superbike, that's what you're going to have to get used to in your first year as a normal rookie. I think Boulogers maybe at a different stage kind of fighting for wins and championships.
He is riding the Ducati.
Yeah, but yeah, the first year is always going to be the most difficult in my opinion, and it's about just getting through the first year and learning and understanding what you need, and I think that's the biggest thing. So yeah, hopefully stay here and have another year here and make the next year a little bit easier.
Well, we're certainly going to look forward to watching what happens this weekend in the races. I do call them three races. I'm not down with this super pole thing. Can't be doing with that. So yeah, we wish you the best of luck. Hopefully the weather might help a little bit or give you a chance. I said to Brad, you know, the cream rises to the top in situations like that.
For sure.
You know, fingers crossed, and have a good weekend.
Thanks
for talking to Motorpod.
Cheers. Thank you.
Delighted to be joined on the show again, second time in within a year. Sam Lowes. Sam, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Nice to see you again.
Yep, it's good to have you on the show again. So when we spoke in Qatar last year, I distinctly recall that you made reference to the fact that lack of track time in Moto2 was starting to get on your nerves.
Yeah.
So three races a weekend in World Superbike. How are you finding that as a change?
Yeah, good. Really enjoying it. Really enjoying the format. Little blip in Misano, but the first three rounds progressing nicely. And the only bit difference the first half year is, you know, we started in February and this is the fifth round, so it's quite spread out.
You've gone from one extreme to another.
Yeah, in some ways, but the next half of the year is more busy with some testing in the middle and stuff, so it's good. But I think the format of the weekend is a lot more enjoyable. I think that, especially for me being, obviously rookie, it's not the right word, but first year in Superbike, over the weekend, you know, because you can do the sessions and stuff, but the racing is where you really understand what's going on with the bike, the tyres and everything. So it's, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Motorpod subscriber each month, Scott Baldwin. Thanks, Scott.
Yep.
He sent in a question, just simply asking to compare a Moto2 bike to the World Superbike. I mean, what's the key?
Yeah, so obviously the little bit, probably the biggest thing I would probably say is the weight and the stiffness of the chassis, because it's real stiff in Moto2 bike. Obviously 30, depending on the fuel, but let's say 33, 34 kilos lighter, the bike, so it's quite a lot. The rest is okay, a little bit the power, the top speed and the Superbike's faster, but because of the weight of Moto2 and the way it is, it's still off the corners, pushes quite hard, even though the horsepower is quite low.
Yeah.
And the electronics, Moto2 is really, really... one-to-one, you feel like you know electronics, and Superbike have a lot, so these are the three main areas.
And is the electronic side of it the ability to do a lot more? Is that something that kind of inspires you?
Yeah, it inspires me. It takes a bit of understanding, because the comments, you can improve things that in the past, like Moto2, you would just ride around, you know, because you can do engine brake corner by corner, power corner, you can do a lot more things, so it needs a bit more understanding to how to do it. Also the power, the way they control the power, the first touch of the gas is something I've really worked on this first half of the year, because for me can feel a bit strange the first touch, you know, and have a lot of control. I'm used to it being like one-to-one.
Yeah.
But like in Barcelona, I rode the bike very much one-to-one compared to the Ducatis, and obviously the tyres didn't last long. So I'm just working on that sort of thing. But first thing, when you first ride it, it'll be the weight, really.
Yeah. And I imagine you've been in fairly close contact with the Moto2 teams, because obviously you're still part of the Alphamart VVS racing outfit. So have you had some inputs with Tony in terms of his adaptation to the Pirellis, which you are on? Now, I know they're different tyres, different bikes, so it's not directly relevant, he appeared to take a step forward at Sachsenring last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the SC0 and SC1 is actually the same tyre that they use.
Right.
They use in the front one, they have one different front, but yeah, some of the tyres is quite similar. We have a bit softer stuff in Superbike, different races, but he took a step forward. Tony, his riding style is quite unique in the way he rides. He has a lot of lean angle. And coming from Moto3, he goes faster, but he stresses a lot the tyre, especially the rear tyre. So Germany is never his best track, even with Dunlop. So he actually did well at the weekend. He dropped back at the end, which is unfortunate, because the result didn't really show the weekend he had. Also in Assen, he was in. So I think step by step he'll figure it out. I think that class has been a strange start this year. It's been a bit up and down, a lot of strange results. I think it fizzled it out. But yeah, it's been tough. Also, as much as I'm using Pirelli, I've never used him with a Moto2. And the bike's so different that the Moto2 actually is hard on tyres and Superbike.
Oh, really?
Which is strange.
Yeah.
It was the same with Dunlop. I have a training bike, an R1 it used to be when I was in Moto2. And honestly, I could do 60 laps with the Dunlops.
Wow.
And it's like, they just don't compare to the Moto2, which stresses the tyres.
So you've not had a sneaky test out on the Moto2 bike then?
Not had a sneaky test. There was a plan to do a bit in Aragon, a little bit with the team, potentially with next year's bike. But I think that's sort of fizzled out, because I've got enough to focus on here.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we must return to World Superbike, because that's why we're here. So... how are you finding racing with a completely different bunch of people? Because, I mean, obviously you've been in Moto2 a long time, and this is a complete, not a culture shock, but it's a complete change in terms of who you know, who you can trust, you know, what moves you can
Figuring that out a bit, because the races have been a bit strange, you know. Phillip Island was all their pit stops. Barcelona's a different style race, because I didn't, but a lot of the guys did pace at the beginning to save the tyres, so this was strange. Assen was very difficult conditions all weekend, you know, 6 degrees and rain, and then Misano was a little bit with higher temperatures, that was a bit of a baptism for me. The tyres are so different in them conditions. So yeah. Loving it, but figuring it out a bit. And just the guys use the tyre well in the beginning, so it actually is not too bad in the beginning. But like the Superpole race is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just 10 laps of you either closing the door or going past someone. It's that sort of race.
Like it's mint every lap.
It's mint, but yeah, if you're not passing, you're getting passed, which is that's what racing is, you know. Mm. You can't help but smile, but it's tough.
Because you love that kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Of course. But you need to be ready for it. The first couple I were like, all right, fair enough. With this bike being a bit, it's more forgiving than the Moto 2. It's hard to have that style racing in Moto 2 because you clip someone or you just dabble inside with it. Maybe we're probably a bit different, but it wouldn't be as nice.
Yeah. I was probably not the only person before your brother re-signed with KRT, wondering if there was going to be an Alf Mark VDS super team with Alex and Sam in it. But is that something you would have welcomed, or is that something that might even happen in the future, do you think?
I would say that the plan is, the team, I guess, for next year will just be one rider again, because it's all new. And because they're still very committed to the Moto 2, they've just signed a new deal with a different manufacturer there.
Yeah, moving to the Bosco Scudo.
Yeah, moving to the Bosco. So, you know, it's a massive job to run this whole project. So, but the overall goal in the future is definitely to run 2 superbikes. And then obviously any rider that's worthy of the ride. Me and Alex, from a personal side, to show guys would be amazing.
Yeah.
And something that would happen and we would like to do before we retire. But I don't know, I don't have that
not on the cards
sway
for now.
In the team. Yeah. Not for next year. Obviously he's got a new deal. He's doing really good this year. He's made a step forward with the team. And the experience he's got, he's been a long time in 2 bikes with a new project. It's perfect. So we have to see how things pan out. But yeah, it's definitely not, let's say it's not something that's, definitely, it's not on the cards to happen, but it's obviously not off the cards.
Yeah.
Especially if he's performing well, and I'm going to make a step over the year. You know, if you're doing well, any rider
can happen.
He's won races this year, so it's not a strange. You would sign him, wouldn't you?
Now, I was delving back into Wikipedia, which is not always the most accurate of places to delve for information. But is 2009 the last time you raced at Donington Park back in Supersport?
It would have been 2013 in World Supersport. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 12 and 13 in World Supersport. I won both times. That was nice. So I live 10 minutes away from here. This is really a home race.
So do you do a lot of track days here?
I have. Since I crossed the line in 2013, I've never been around the track.
Okay.
So I've been here a couple of times to watch Alex and come to the BSP, but I've literally not been around the track. So
what are you looking forward to most about getting back out there then? I mean, it's obviously great track.
I've done a lot here when I was younger.
Iconic track.
A lot here when I was younger with, obviously, Leon Haslam, close friend of mine, with his dad Ron, used to help me in Alex. So I've done loads of laps here. So it's a track that I know. It's 11 years ago, so the first session is going to be a little bit of a, I know where to go, but with the superbike, so it's going to be a little bit of a steady go. But yeah, just looking forward to the weekend. It's a track that suits my style, especially the first half. And then the areas I'm really working on with the superbike, just to stop the bike a bit better and pick up the bike on the exits, you have to do in the last sector. So it's going to be good for my progression this weekend.
Yeah.
Not trying to expect too much. Misano didn't go. We tested so good in Misano, and we expected maybe something more from the, not something more, but you know, different from the weekend, because we was fast in testing. But them hotter conditions I want ready for. And at the minute with the superbike, I don't have everything 100% understood. So when the conditions and stuff change, I'm not reacting well. And I'm against guys that are absolutely on it and know everything about it. Like, say, Alex, for example.
Because we tend to forget it.
He knows everything about everything. You know, this tyre, and then this temperature, this 2 degrees more. I'm thinking, I can't make a difference. And it does.
Yeah.
So at the minute, I'm not ready to have everything to put on in every situation. But we're not far away. I'm just going to look forward to the weekend and see how it is, but it'll be nice.
Looking forward to barreling down the crane as I expect.
Yeah, honestly, it's a track that anyone that's read it will know, you smile riding on it. And I will be doing that this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Final question. What would be a result that would make you happy this weekend? I mean, it's going to be sketchy-ish looking weather, perhaps on Saturday, but Sunday's looking a bit better, I think. But what would be a realistic goal, given everything that you've just said about it? And it's super competitive, this field. We forget that a little bit.
Yeah, it's strong field. My goal here would be, especially over the weekend, see how I feel. And, you know, it's hard as a home rider, someone that has achieved what I have. I was still looking, fighting for a podium, top 5 podium. Let's say top 5 this weekend is sort of, top 5 or 6 is my goal, but then something happens in the race, and then I get another, obviously 2 goes Sunday.
Yeah.
So if I can have a solid result, top 5 or 6 Saturday, should be able to make a bigger step than most, because it's, you know, evolution over the weekend. So
do you believe in the notion of the home crowd and that kind of, what is it, that, you know, the sort of the X factor that you get from being on home
turf? I do and I don't. I think that when you have got a good support, I think it's nice. Do you know what I mean? I think it's nice, so it helps you maybe in some ways focus a bit more and try. But then I also know, having travelled 10 years in the Grand Prix paddock, that you turn up in, I don't know, in Japan and you're on the lap record straight away because it's part of your job. So I think the top riders are fast everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think it's nice to perform well. And maybe the last few laps, if you're struggling, this is a very physical track, Donington, with the arms and stuff, so maybe you can find a bit more. But I just think for the sense of it, it makes you feel good. You get a lot of support, and this is always nice.
Yeah.
And maybe it does bring a little bit.
Well, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of support this weekend, Sam. And we wish you the best of luck in the races. We'll be sort of keeping an eye on the results.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's great to see you over in this paddock now and enjoying your racing.
Yeah, let's see. See how we can get on. We'll be nice.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Okay.